Chapter 11, there was a farmer. The farmer was having problems. He had a bunch of pesky crows. So he went and grabbed a shotgun. What he didn't see was that his pet parrot had joined the crows. Well, after firing a few shots, he walked over to the fallen birds, and to his surprise, there the parrot, badly ruffled with a broken wing. The farmer's children saw that and saw the injured bird, and they said, "Dad, what happened?" The farmer simply replied, "Bad company." Amen. Today's friend day. Today's friend day. The Bible warns us. It says a lot about friends. And it warns us, and it reminds us that evil communications can corrupt good manners. And although that pet parrot sat there, he was around some pesky crows, and when shots got fired, he was in the line. How many of you would, in your life, said, there was a time in my life where I was with the wrong group of friends and I did things I shouldn't have done? Anybody like that? Sure. There's a danger in that. Proverbs 27:17 says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." Also on the other side of it, though, how many of you have been around some people that were doing right and you just kind of reap the benefits of that? Sure. I was just at not the wrong place at the wrong time, the right place at the right time. There were times in my life, I had a good friend in high school. His name was James Boyd. And James's dad was the deaf pastor at the church at the time, and we just befriended each other. Our birthdays were just a few days apart, and we just connected. And, he desired to serve the Lord with his life. And that helped me. When my closest friend in growing up was someone that wanted to serve the Lord, that encouraged me. James would challenge me. He would question me, not to criticize, but he would question my intentions. "Hey, Nick, why are you doing that? Is this real to you? Is this the... And he helped me. Hey, maybe you've had a friend in your life that, when times were tough, they came by, put their arm around you and helped you through a rough time. We've experienced both. We've experienced the negative friend, the friend that pulled us away. Is that truly, by definition, a friend? And we've also experienced the benefit of being around someone that has sharpened us. You know, I have some friends in the ministry, or friends about, and I love going out to eat with them. Yes, I love food, but I do enjoy their fellowship. And that after I come away going, "Man, that it was just good to be together." And I'll go to send them a thank you or something. I'll open up my phone and they've responded that already. "Hey, it was really nice. It was refreshing to be with you." Hey, that's a blessing to be that to somebody. An encouragement to somebody. You know, sometimes, I have friends in the ministry that are in this ministry that don't know any of you. And it's nice to be able to sit down and talk with them and say, "Hey, I got this situation, or I got this concern, or this is on my heart." And they can do the same thing, and we can encourage each other. It's a help. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to be around someone that really has your well-being and trying to help you, and what's a good friend? Help you get closer to the Lord. That's a good friend. Not someone that pulls you away. "Oh, these are my friends." Hey, if your friend's pulling you away from the things of God, you know what? That's not a good friend. It would be better to have no friends than the wrong friends, I'm telling you. As we look at Luke chapter 11 this morning, are you there? Luke chapter 11. I should get there. Luke chapter 11. We could all identify our friends, right? So if I asked you to tell me the list of friends, who would you invite to your birthday party? That's a good indicator, right? As adults, we don't really throw ourselves birthday parties anymore. Which, a complete oversight, we should. That would be fun. But we could identify our friends. What makes a friend? A British publication once offered a prize for the best definition of a friend. There were thousands of answers. This was the winning one. A friend is the one who comes in when the whole world has gone out. This morning we're going to attempt to define friendship from the Bible. Luke chapter 11 and verse 5. We'll read 5 through 10, and then we'll pray and we'll see what the Lord has for us. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh and receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you. Thank you for those sweet songs, Lord. Lord, I do need thee every hour. And Lord, I desire to get closer to thee. Lord, I pray that our heart's desire and our actions would be matched here today. Lord, as we look at what a good friend is and we look at what it is that you've laid out in this passage, Lord, help us to do that in our lives. Help us to fulfill that. Help us to be that. Help us to encourage one another. Help us to be loving and caring and kind and giving. And Lord, all of those things. Lord, again, thank you for our church and how good it is to be here together. Lord, our desire as a collective whole is to worship and honor and glorify you. And God, I pray, even in the stillness of our hearts right now, that you'd be pleased with what we think about. Lord, that you'd be pleased with what it is that we're contemplating. Lord, help us to be focused. Help us to not be easily distracted. Lord, again, we love you. We are thankful. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Hebrews chapter... Nope. We did Hebrews this morning in Sunday school class. Luke chapter 11 and verse 5. Look at verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend when he go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Well, our first point this morning, friendship. What are we looking at friendship? Well, number one, it's continual. It's continual. There's a knock at the door at midnight. Most people at midnight, most people, what are they doing? Midnight? Sleeping. There's a knock at his door, and what does his friend need? He's shouting in at him. The Bible tells us, go to Proverbs 17. A friend is a friend continually. Ever hear that phrase, a fair-weather friend? What does that mean? That means when, hey, times get tough or circumstances change, I'm out. Hey, I'm not getting anything out of this relationship, therefore I'm gone. No, a friend, a real friend, is a friend continually. At all times. Proverbs 17:17 says this, a friend loveth when it's convenient. No, that's not what it says, does it? A friend loveth during the daylight hours. No, a friend loveth at all times. At all times. And a brother is born for adversity. As we read this passage, our friend in bed that's sleeping is struggling with being friendly. Ever find yourself in a circumstance or a situation where you know how you should respond, but you're struggling within to actually do it? Struggling within. Maybe there you are and you're driving and guy cuts you off. Anybody ever get cut off, right? And you're oh so mad. And then you pull up to the red light and there you are, right next to each other. And inside there's a war. I'm going to go tell this man or lady what I really think. But a friend loveth at all times, and I'm called to be friendly. So I turn the other... Hey, Don't worry about it. No big deal. We're good. That'll throw people for a loop. They'll be surprised. You know, you just don't know who it is that you're interacting with. I was floored. It was, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago. The Richardson's grandson was here, Ethan, and his fiancée was there. And when they walked in, I knew her right away. She's at a tower at ESL. Man, I'm so glad I was never coarse or sharp or anything at the bank. You know, stinking mortgage payment. Here, take it. Man, I'm so glad. You know, she offers me suckers and all of that, you know. You just don't know who it is that you're dealing with. The Bible tells us to be friendly, a friend loveth at all times. A few years ago, Phil and Jen were over to the house, and I think Maddie was there at that time, and they were driving home, and two deer ran in front of the car. And Phil dodged the one, and to miss out on the second one, had to put the van in the ditch on County Line Road. Remember that, Maddie? Were you in the car with that? Okay, great. So if you're familiar with the ditches on County Line Road, they are deep. And that van started filling up with water. Well, all of a sudden my phone rings. It's probably 11 o'clock at night, maybe later. And all of a sudden, the call of a friend comes, right? Hey, buddy, can you help me out? We need help. So we went, and we're driving people here and there and doing all that. And that night, we stayed up till 4 o'clock in the morning, sitting, parking, watching Orleans County's finest tow truck company trying to get this van out of this thing. 4 a.m. We would talk about that for years to come. Laughing. Remember these guys? The guys snapping ropes and things and say, were you friendly to him? I was friendly to Phil. That's who we were friendly. We're parked in the van just watching it all. It was like, I wish someone was rolling video to watch this whole thing. Hey, sometimes the call to friendship is at all hours. There was a knock at this man's door, and what time was it? It was midnight. Hey, friendship has no time limits. It's not like, well, it's, you know, 5 a.m. or, again, how many times did I get a call from, there we are, and hang out with the Hubers, and Phil's, hey, I'm flying out tomorrow morning. Great. Uh-oh. Wait, I know where this is going. Can you give me a ride? Sure, what time's your flight? I don't know why he picked 6 a.m. for flights, because that means I got to be to his house at like 3:30, 4 o'clock, and it's already 11, and it's like, oh, man. Hey, friendship has no time restraints. It's continual. A friend loveth at all times. Not just all times on the clock, but all circumstances. Hey, we need to be careful. Yes, we need to be careful with who we make friendships with, but we also need to be careful that we not just depart when things get a little tough. Not that we condone wrong behavior. Hey, if I had a friend and they start doing things that are contrary to the Word of God, and hey, my obligation is to be friendly and try and encourage them back to do right. Not, hey man, you're a mess, I'm out of here. But all times. All times. No, point number one in friendship, it's continual. Go back to Luke chapter 11 and verse 6. Luke chapter 11 and verse 6. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. So the man that's knocking on the door of the other guy's house says, I got a buddy coming over, and I don't have anything to make him. I don't have anything to give him. It's midnight. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. Hey, poor planning on your part does not constitute an emergency on mine, he says. Leave me alone. I'm in bed. The kids are asleep. We know the golden rule of children. Do not wake a sleeping baby. You don't do that. Right, Ms. Naparella? We don't wake sleeping babies. Why? Because they wake up grumpy. And a lot of times it's just a little power nap and then they're up. After 11 o'clock, we tiptoe. We walk. We're quiet in the house. Why? Because we don't want anyone waking up. Here he is. He's in bed. I read the circumstance. I don't know why he's in bed with the kids. I don't know. That just doesn't make sense. Different culturally. Maybe they had one bed. Maybe it's a small house. I don't know. The fact that he can hear from the front door, have a conversation in his bedroom with the kids tells me this is not a large house. Okay? So you understand what's going on, right? But he is able to converse and yet not awake them. But he says, hey, listen, it's late. The kids are in bed. Leave me alone. I'm sorry. You're on your own. That's his first initial response. How many of you have ever dealt with someone and said, my first initial response was not the right response? Right? Well, sometimes friendship is inconvenient. Inconvenient. But what does the friend at the door want? He wants him to drop everything and help him. He's like, I have no food, and people are coming over, and I don't want to be a bad host. Well, buddy, you invited people over when you had no food. That's a bad host, right? But as inconvenient as it was, he wanted him to drop everything. Why would anyone drop everything and go help a friend like that? I cannot rise and give thee, he says. Why would he? Well, he would do that because he loves and cares for his friend. Even though it is inconvenient. 1 Peter chapter 4. Hold your hand in Luke 11. But let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 in verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 4 in verse 8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. See that? We're kind towards one another. We're loving. We're considerate. What? As every man hath received the gift, even so minister to the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We exercise charity. We're kind. We're loving. Whether we feel like it or not. Even if it is inconvenient, or to be considerate. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Friendship is continual. Friendship is sometimes inconvenient, but we do it because we love and care. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. We're considerate. So the guy's initial response, there he is, he's laying in bed with the kids. The guy's at the front door pounding away at the door. It's midnight. And he says, hey, I got someone coming over. Can you help me out? I need some bread. And the guy's laying there going, go away, leave me alone. I don't want to wake up the kids. And then he's laying there thinking, oh, Bob, man, he gives me a hard time every time. But he's my best friend. Bob! All right, I'm getting up. Finds his little robe or whatever it is. Go back to Luke chapter 11 for a third point. Sometimes friendship is costly. It might require something of you. Luke chapter 11 and verse 8. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity. That's a word that we don't use a lot. What does that mean? The word importunity means urgent requests. Because he was pressing, maybe it went something like this. Hey, I have a friend coming over. Yeah, it's midnight. Leave me alone. No, I need bread. He's on his way. I'm sleeping. The kids are sleeping. Maybe it went something like that. He pressed the issue. He asked multiple times. He didn't go away. There's Bob laying in bed. I don't know. I just made up his name. Name's not Bob. But today it is. There he is, Bob laying in bed with the kids on side. Gary, you still there? Yeah, I'm here. You gonna go back home? No. Are you getting the bread? Yeah, I'm getting the bread. Because Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24 tells us to be friendly. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Hey, if you find yourself now with a lot of friends, I don't want to say it, but I mean, we could read the verse. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Well, I don't have any friends. Maybe you're not friendly. Maybe you're not willing to be a friend at all times. Maybe you're not willing to let it become inconvenient. Maybe you're not allowing it to cost you something. Bob's not laying, a good friend will not do this. He will not say, all right, hey, sweetheart, write this down. I'm giving Gary three loaves of bread at midnight. Oh, this is going to be good. I'm going to be able to call on Gary. He's going to help me weed. He's going to help me put that trench in. He's going to help me build. He's going in the septic tank this time. He's cleaning it out. Oh, he owes me big. No, that's not what friends do, is it? They don't make a note. They don't make a list of. They're not looking to make things even. They're just friendly. They're givers. They're kind. They share what they have. I can't tell you how many times Phil called me. Hey, is my tool at your house or is it my house? No, we used it here and then we brought it back. Or I'll ask him, hey, did I leave that there? Yeah, it's in my garage. It's hanging up. It's kind of like we had similar garages. My tools were his tools were my tools, kind of. He used to have a lot more tools. Don't look to make things even. If I do this, then I have one up on him and he owes me. Can't you let a friendship cost you something? Can't you come out in the end and not have more than you started? That's okay. Friendships are costly. Not only do they cost sometimes money, but they cost time. You have to invest in a relationship. Relationships aren't like light switches. You turn them off and on. People take work. I don't know, that one's high maintenance. That's too much for me. I'm telling you, it is worth it. It's worth it. People are worth investing in. The cost. Might cost a little bit of money. Might take a little bit of time. Might have to put, listen to this, your heart into it. Might take some effort. But friends are worth it. So what does he do? He gets up and he rises and he says this even. He says, he will rise and give as many as he needeth. How much do you need? What can I do for you? How can I help you? I'm out of bed already. Do you want me to come over and spend some time with you guys? Yeah. What did we see? A good friendship is, well, it's continual. Sometimes it's inconvenient. Most certainly, it's going to cost. So that's why I just want to do my own thing, stay away from everybody. Do you understand that someday you're going to need to knock on someone's door? Say, no, I'm independent. And I've seen some really independent people become very needy. So start setting that thing up. Say, what is this, like an investment? Yeah, kind of. But in people. So there's our story of friendship. But as we go back to Luke chapter 11, there's more to the story. Remember Paul Harvey? And this is the rest of the story. Remember that? Man, I wish there was another Paul Harvey out there. Luke chapter 11 and verse 9. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh and receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. He told us this whole story. Yes, he was talking about friendship, but he was also talking about something else. He was talking about a relationship between man and God. I want to ask you a few questions. If you could get the attention of the Lord, what would you ask him for? Think about that. If you could knock on the Lord's door and ask him, because that's what it's saying. Seek, ask, knock. Ask, seek, knock. Sorry. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. So there you are. You live next door to the Lord. Midnight. Lord, God of heaven, of all creation, could I... What? What's your request? What are you going to ask him for? Are you going to ask him for 3 loaves of bread? I wouldn't. If I could ask God for one thing, and I was thinking about this when I read this passage. As I approached the passage, I was familiar with the story. I wanted to use the story of the friendship. And then as I finished it, I kind of stopped and I had asked myself the question, if I were to ask God for anything, what would I ask him for? If you could ask God for only one thing, what would it be? I came up with the answer. Well, I know what I would ask him for. This man, Gary, goes over to Bob's house and he knocks on the door, and his biggest problem right then is not his mortgage payment. It was not needed medicine for his sick daughter. His dog didn't need food. He needed food for a friendship that he was trying to maintain. Asked him for 3 loaves of bread. I wouldn't ask God for 3 loaves of bread. Say why? Because I feel like someone could provide 3 loaves of bread. I would ask God for something that only God could do. I wouldn't ask him for something that a friend could do. I wouldn't ask the Lord to borrow a tool, or I wouldn't ask, sometimes I've asked the Lord to help me find tools, but I would not ask him to borrow it. I wouldn't ask God for 5 loaves of bread, or 3 loaves of bread, or 100 loaves of bread. I wouldn't ask him for that. Why? Because I could go to Wegmans and get that. But if I could ask God for one thing, I wouldn't ask him for money. I wouldn't ask him for something that I would ask him for something that I could never fix myself. So what's the biggest problem I have? It's not lacking bread. I wouldn't ask him for money. What is something that money couldn't buy? What is something that physical strength could never overcome? What is something that knowledge and education could not meet the need of? Is there something? What is something that no friend of mine could ever help me with? And if I could answer that, that's what I would ask God for. That's what I would knock on the heart or on the door of God's house and say, I need help with this. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20 says, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. For there is not a just man upon... Say, I know a good guy. Not that doesn't have sin. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Well, now I see my problem. I have a problem that I can't solve on my own. And I was born with it. The blessing of having my dad here, but you see how tall my dad is. My mom was 5'2". So you know where I get it from. My dad's 5'6", mom's 5'2". This is it, brother. This is what I get. I'm 5'6½". I succeeded to pass the height of my father by 1/2 inch, maybe. It depends on our shoes. But this is what I get. This is what I'm born with. This is my nature. Nothing I can do. I've tried the stretching machines. I've tried the stilts. I'm not going to be a basketball player. I'm not going to be that. This is it. This is my nature. I was also born with another nature, a sinful nature. No one had to teach me how to lie. No one had to teach me how to be selfish. I just did it naturally. Why? Because that's my nature. I have a dog. We'll wash him. We'll clean him. We use the expensive soaps because my dog can't even have normal soaps. He's allergic to normal soap. So we got to get this antifungal. It's more expensive than even Pantene. So you see where we're at. And he stinks and he smells and he's a dog. And we wash him, and we clean him all up, and he shakes all over the house because we got to wash him in the tub, and he does the thing, and as much as I wash him off, he gets water all over, and he's tracking it, and we got 5 kids at the house, and Hudson is oblivious to the world, and he just goes outside, and the dog wants to go out after we just washed him, and by nature, you know what he does? He goes and finds the nastiest, dirtiest, filthiest spot in the entire neighborhood and just rolls himself in it. Say, why? And I ask him, Trapper, what are you doing? That's his nature. That's what he does. He can't not do that. Someone pulls up to the house. Rawr, 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 rawr. Shut up. Stop barking. He can't. He cannot. I hold him. Rawr, rawr. He can't because that's who he is. Hey, we're liars. We're sinners. Why? Because by nature, that's how I was born. That's a problem. Not only was it by nature how I was born, but I then chose that. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned. I wasn't just born with sin. I willfully, knowing what I was doing, said, no, I'm going to disobey God. I'm going to sin. Say, well, it was just a little sin. It wasn't one of the big sins. James 2:10 says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of it all. I was a little disobedient to my mom. I was a little lie. It's sin. Hey, I'm at my house knocking on the door of God's house. And I don't have a problem with missing three loaves of bread. My problem is much bigger than that. My problem is my sin because I can't fix that in myself. I can't go to my best friend and say, hey man, I need you to get rid of my sin. They can't do it. So if I were to ask God for one thing, if I could ask God for one thing, it wouldn't, maybe like two or three things, I could see the Ferrari coming up or something like that, but if I could have just one, I'd ask him to take care of the problem that doesn't just show up here, but for all eternity. And I wouldn't stop knocking until he answered. That's what this story's all about. It's not about Bob and Gary and the three loaves of bread. It's about you and me asking God to fix our biggest problem. He says, and I say unto you. All of a sudden, this story takes a dramatic turn and becomes very personal. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. So what is it that God has that I need? Forgiveness. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm a sinner. Not only was I born that way, but I've chosen that way. But the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what your last name is. Doesn't matter where you grew up. Doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank. Doesn't matter where you went to college. Doesn't matter what you've done in your life. We ought to be asking God for one thing. And one thing only. The thing that no friend could ever help us with. I've gotten a lot of help from friends over the years. Say, why? Because I'm needy. I'm one of those relationships that are high maintenance. Say, how so? Because I don't know how to do stuff. And Sarah wants stuff done. So all of a sudden there's a hole in the wall, or there's paint missing, or there, hey, we need this, and we need that, and now what do I do? And, well, I'm calling buddies. The van's making a bad noise. Well, just turn the radio up. That's what I do. It'll go away. I'm sure it'll correct itself. It happens all the time in the truck. Don't worry about it. Those lights, that bulb in there will just burn out after a while. No, we're needy. More than all that, I come to the Lord needy. Because there's something in my life that not even my best friend could help me with. No matter how hard I tried, no matter how much I've done, unless I ask the Lord to forgive me of my sin, it's not happening. This morning we talked about the value of good friends. Sure, they'll help you either get out of or get into trouble. They'll help you get to the right place and stay there. That's a good friend. A good friend will love you continually, even when it's inconvenient and it might cost them something. So can I encourage you this morning to be that good friend? Be willing to be inconvenienced once in a while, or all the time. Be willing to make it continual. If the phone rings at 12 o'clock, well, you answer it. Hey, you need a ride at 6 a.m. Well, all right, we're going at 6 a.m. That's what we're doing. Let it cost you something. Not just money, but cost a little bit of your heart. Be sincere. Be loving. Be kind. Be sharing. That's what I'm looking for in a friend. That's what I want to be in a friend. But what about your biggest problem? If you live next door to the Lord and you were able to knock on His door, what would you ask for? I'd ask for the one thing that I couldn't do. I'd ask for the one thing that I could never fix. I would ask for the one thing that there's no remedy on this earth for. And that's salvation. I would humble myself and I'd beg God, God, please, please, if you could, and I know you can. I've sinned and I've come short of your glory. And I'm no good. And I got a big problem and I need you to fix it. I need you to forgive me of my sins. Will you save me? And just keep knocking and asking. That's the story. Let's all stand. A friend is one who comes in when the whole world has gone out. Is that you? Hey, the Lord has put people in your path and in your way, not just acquaintances, but has really allowed a connection. I would use that friendship for good. Do your best to use it for good. Maybe there's someone in your life that you want to come and pray for this morning. Maybe you want to come and talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't think I've been very friendly. Could you change my heart? Could you help me? So you could pray for your friends. You could pray for yourself. Maybe you're here this morning and maybe you just want to come and knock on the heart and on the door of God. Say, God, would you forgive me? Would you forgive me of my sin? Because I got a big problem and there's no way I can fix it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray you'd bless this short time invitation now. That God, we would truly consider the message, not because of the preacher, but because of your word. Lord, I ask that you bless it now. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the friendships maybe you have in your life? Maybe you want to come and pray for somebody? Maybe you want to grab your friend and come and pray with somebody. It's good to have friends in the ministry. It's good to have friends in church house. I'll tell you, the first half of our Sunday school class is just sometimes just us talking about our week and being friendly one with another. Getting to know somebody. Understand that friendships are continual. Sometimes they'll be inconvenient and they're going to be costly. Would you be willing? Would you be willing to spend a little bit? Not just money, but your time and your efforts, your heart. And how about that? If you live next door to the Lord and you are able to knock on His door at the midnight hour, what is it that you'd ask Him for? Well, I'd ask Him for 3 loaves of bread. Could you make it? How about you ask Him for something that you couldn't do for yourself? How about forgiveness of sins?